Hello and welcome back to the Power of Purpose podcast fueled by LH. I'm your host, Julia Rogers, and I hope you enjoyed our last episode with the lovely Mealy Leapik, getting her take on the huge subject of purpose. Today I'd like to introduce a gentleman who has successfully transitioned from the sea to land, a subject that is generally on people's minds. From being a captain and circumnavigating the globe several times, to now heading up the marina at beautiful Porto Montenegro. Tony Brown talks about his transition and the fabulous ongoing project that is Porto Montenegro and the purpose behind it. So hi, Tony. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Julia. It's a great pleasure. Thank you for having me here.
So you're sitting in your office in that wonderful Porto Montenegro, I gather.
I am, yes. It's quite good today. It's about 36 degrees outside with, I think, about 95% humidity. So the air conditioning is a welcome relief from the marina.
Oh, well, I'm really looking forward to talking to you about Porto Montenegro. But, Tony, you've had quite the career and personal journey from deckhand, I believe, to captain and now to marine director for Porto Montenegro, as well as chairman of the Global Marina Institute. And that's quite some titles and career journey. But what was your motivation and purpose, first of all, for joining yachting in the first place?
I think really it stemmed from childhood. So I had a fairly normal childhood living in a little place near Hobart in Tasmania, Australia. My parents were very active, though, to the point that my father, he actually fitted out a sailing boat in our backyard that became our weekender and holiday journey. Escape from reality, I guess. So they were very adventurous, and I think that rubbed off on me. I didn't really have any idea of what I was going to do on leaving college. So my mother enrolled me in the Maritime College in Hobart, in Launceston in Tasmania to do a degree in marine engineering, specialising in electronics. I didn't actually complete it because of falling in love with someone and moving interstate, as a young man can do. But that really, I think, set me on the journey of the huge interest that I had in yachting and trying to find some way of getting on board and finding a life at sea and all the adventure that it would entail.
And so mother and girlfriend really sort of were quite influential in where you were going, what you were doing.
One was positive, the other one not so much.
And then you met your wife on board, didn't you?
I did, yeah. You did, yeah. Yes. I joined a boat professionally in 1997, and about 6 months later, I saw a new stewardess arrival, and thought, "Oh, hello!"
Jolly good. That's one of the successful stories of meeting somebody on yachts, which is really good. Yeah. So, one of the most discussed topics on the boat is life after the boat and coming off, and which you have successfully done. So what was the motivation behind that transition?
I think in the back of everybody's mind who works on yachts, there's always that question of what is it that I'm going to do as I progress and get older, and how can I transition ashore? It's a difficult question, I guess, or answer. Because it's not that easy to find something that, particularly as you rise through the ranks, if you like, on board, and you know, that's a bit of a cliche, but you become accustomed to a certain way of life and standard of living, to figure out what you can do that will sort of maintain that level of lifestyle, but also level of responsibility, if you like. So for me, it was pure chance, actually. I was a build captain on a 40-metre that we were building out in Turkey. The owner of that was on the advisory board of the very first board in Porto Montenegro when it was being started, and they were looking for a yachtsman who could come and give some insight into what a yacht needs in order to really successfully operate, because the vision here at Porto Montenegro was to create really the world's, you know, best or leading super yacht marina. So they really wanted to understand what that meant from a yachting side rather than just from the civil engineering and infrastructure type scenarios.
That's great foresight, because I was recently doing another podcast with a lady who's been a chief steward and a purser. And she's been taken on to do 3 builds because of her insight and real knowledge of how a boat would run the most professionally and the most successfully, which makes sense to me. You know, so those guys had a great insight to take, bring you on board.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a really good example. So it's not only this marina environment that they were building, but obviously in the yachting side of things. And that was actually what I was doing in Turkey as well. So my role as the build captain was to work alongside the naval architects and the yard to ensure that the yacht had, you know, a spot to put the chamois in the right place, right through to where exactly we were going to place the bridge instruments and, you know, systems and all the rest of it. So Porto Montenegro looked at the same thing, which was great. And I took ideas from all of the marinas and ports and harbours and things that I'd seen around the world, taking the best and the worst as well, because it's always good to learn from the, you know, mistakes perhaps that others have made. Things like the international school, which was an idea that came from Palma mainly and Antibes, where a captain is very motivated to keep a boat in the location that his family lives and his kids go to the school. So we have our international school, you know, super fast Wi-Fi, fibre optic to all of the boats, free black and grey water pump out, but then also looking after the crew. It's really important to make sure that the crew have the things they need to make the yacht function successfully and with ease, but also in their downtime, a lot of activities and things to do as well.
Well, that's how we met, didn't we? We met because I came for the A-Crew Winter Games just before COVID hit. It's great to see that's coming back. So I think you just had a spotlight with A-Crew in Montenegro, didn't you, recently?
We did last week. Yeah, we had the A-Crew team down again. And it's such a great, energetic bunch of people, and doing the right thing for the industry, doing the right thing for the crew. And it's a perfect synergy between Porto Montenegro and our crew club and A-Crew. And so the spotlight event was really good, and it was great to have you here for the winter games that we hosted, which was a lot of fun. And actually on Saturday, we've got the summer edition of the winter games. So we've got a whole bunch of teams signed up to do all sorts of different activities around the marina, from clay pigeon shooting to archery to a lot of other stuff that I won't say because it's top secret. and then a sailing boat regatta in the afternoon, followed by a nice barbecue and prize giving ceremony. And like I say, the activities for the crew is really important.
Oh, it was just such good fun. I found a video the other day of that, the A-Crew Winter Sports, when I was there to do some workshops for LH. And it was just such good fun. Just the facilities that you have with the mountains just up the road. And it is very important to you, isn't it, to supply the crew on all the boats that come into Porto Montenegro to have a really good experience.
It is. It is. I mean, you know, a happy boat, a happy crew, happy boat, happy owners. So making sure that they have good things, fun things to do during their downtime is really important, be it, you know, a pub quiz on a Thursday night, which we do every week. Porto Montenegro is very lucky because obviously you've seen it, and we're nestled within this beautifully protected bay, which is similar to a fjord. So we've got natural protection, but also it's the mountains that backdrop Montenegro or Porto Montenegro provide this epic lifestyle and adventure right on our doorstep. So if it's mountain biking or hiking or skiing or snowboarding or whatever you like to do, there's plenty of stuff for everybody.
Well, the legendary English romantic poet Lord Byron once described Montenegro as it's at the birth of the planet, the most beautiful encounter between land and sea must have been on the Montenegrin coast. And I mean, I've just felt that when I was there, that it's got such a heartbeat and it has such awe-inspiring beauty that, definitely took my breath away.
Yeah, it's a pretty special place.
Yeah. But as you know, Tony, this podcast is about helping people to find purpose in their lives. So was the fact that the marina was only born in 2007 out of that old shipyard and was therefore a completely new development, did you see it as an opportunity for you, for your purpose, to be part of an exciting project building that marina to rival all others?
Yeah, I did. And circling a little bit back to that transition ashore, certainly in the first couple of years, I found it quite difficult moving from yachts. For those whole lifestyle reasons, you know, you get accustomed to a certain way of life. There's all of that. You've got to buy your own toothpaste when you step ashore, which was a bit of a shock after 10 years. but also the yearning, and it's, again, I'll use the word cliche, but the yearning of the sea. You know, I really loved ocean passages and the navigational side of things, and the bond that you get with crew and the friends that you make for life. That's the living on board a yacht, working together. There's no real way to replicate that when you step ashore and you go to a job and then you go home every night. It's a very different lifestyle that you get back into. But for me, I did see it as an opportunity as well, because my wife was very keen to start a family, as was I, very keen to start a family, and I didn't want to end up away from that family. So the desire to be ashore was becoming quite strong. And seeing where Porto Montenegro could go, and that the marina industry has a pretty good synergy with yachting, and that the skill set that I had from yachting and my previous experience before yachting was going to see me in good stead as this project progressed. So I sort of set a target. I wanted to run the marina. I had never run a marina before. But I'd been to plenty, and I knew what the customer wanted from a marina. So I set about looking at what courses were available, what learning opportunities I could undertake in order to ensure that I had the skill set that was required to run a marina.
So is there any advice that you can give anybody now listening? Because as we've spoken about before, is that it is always in the forefront of people's minds, isn't it? That to come off the boat at some point and take all of their skills that they've learned. I mean, amazing skills that you can learn when you're on passage and on a boat. Is there anything that you could give as advice to anybody listening to this?
Yeah, I think it's keep your eyes open for opportunity. Don't be afraid to get outside your comfort zone. You know, there's always going to be another opportunity. And actually, the owner of the yacht that we were building in Turkey gave me some good advice, because I really wasn't that keen to step ashore. And he said to me, look, Tony, you can go back to sea anytime you like, but this is a golden opportunity for you to get ashore. I know your wife wants to get ashore, so, you know, take it, have a go at it. And if it doesn't work out, go back to sea. So never be afraid to mix things up, try something new, set yourself a goal. So my goal was I really wanted to run the marina, and then I looked at how to make that possible. So whatever your goal is, make it as high as you like. Maybe you're lucky enough to step straight into something that is already quite challenging and rewarding. It certainly was here from the early days in Porto Montenegro, because we were building something from nothing. But I still had a greater a goal and vision that I wanted to achieve for myself, and I think that's what people can do. Make sure that they strive for whatever it is that they want to achieve.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because some people, they really don't know what their purpose is, and they can just sit and wait for it and think, well, what is it? Something will open up for me. But you sound like you set yourself quite a lofty goal. When you saw that opportunity, you thought, right, that's a very lofty purpose which you set, and you've managed to achieve it, which is, you know, very, very lucky, and you've landed in a beautiful place.
Yeah, and that word luck is a very, very good point, actually, because, you know, every so often in life you'll have these big life decisions to make where you've got a couple of forks in the road, and you do have to make your decision. But for me, it was always luck as well, because they came along at the right time and I got lucky with the choice that I made. But I also believe that you make your own luck. So the more you put into life, I think the more opportunity you get, and perhaps the luckier you can be as well.
Yes. It's just that, you know, some people just sit and wait for it and they're lucky enough for it to come to them, or sometimes you have to really go for it. And you saw that and went for it. And one of the big struggles is with purpose is that there is sometimes a disconnect between our personal and our professional purpose. And the timing doesn't always match up, but you seem to have combined the two really successfully and are now using that with a team to create a united purpose for Porto Montenegro. So can you tell us what that united purpose for the marina is?
Yeah, I think really it's the vision still stands for Porto Montenegro, which is to be the leading super yacht marina. And okay, so I'm running the team, but somebody else gave me some really good advice once as well, which was Mr. Peter Monk, who actually started Porto Montenegro. He was the original investor. He said to me, you know, never do anything yourself that the team can do. So meaning, and that's not about being lazy. That's not actually, you know, well, I'm not going to do anything because I've got all you people to do it for me. That's about making sure that you're utilizing everybody's abilities and empowering people to go out there and test their boundaries as well. You know, there's a fine line between going outside your comfort zone and being bored, and trying to find that area for every staff member, I think, is really important and probably part of the success behind successful businesses, Porto Montenegro perhaps being one of those, because it takes a while actually to learn, and it's about delegation really, isn't it? It takes a while to learn how to delegate without thinking or wishing that you could clone yourself so that it would all be done in the way you thought it should be done. But actually what you realise as you get a bit older is that everybody brings in their own perception of how something should be done, and so you end up with actually something that's more of the sum of its parts, and so it's better than if you could clone yourself and do it all your own way. Mm. So empowering people, I think, is what we're all about here at Porto Montenegro.
Well, you mentioned that gap between challenges and boredom, and we call it flow. So if you're in a state of flow where you're just almost into the challenged side, so that you're feeling that you're really achieving and getting people to work towards their own talents. So I think you did take our LH Dynamics test a while ago, and you came out as a creator, a very creative person, which does kind of look at what you're doing in your life. And then if you have the right people around you sitting in the right seat on the right bus, then you've got them all working to their strengths and all being in that happy place, and be trusted then to do what they're good at and do it well. So that's a very important awareness to have.
Yeah, and I think it shows in staff retention as well. So, okay, we only started in 2007, and I guess I really started employing people, or we really started employing people in the wider company, but certainly in the marina side of things in 2008, 2009. And most of those staff are still with us because they are empowered to do what they need to do, and they're challenged. Okay, everybody gets in a rut, and your day-to-day job, once you've done it for a long time, can feel a little bit the same. But I mean, you mentioned creativity. I like to take 50 ideas and throw them at the wall and see which one sticks, and usually it's only one or two that stick, but there'll be a room of all of us, and we're all trying to come up with those 50 ideas, and we're all throwing them at the wall, and if anybody's got one that has legs and we can make something of, like the Winter Games, for instance. Actually, that came from our managing director, that idea, and we all ran with it, and it stuck, and it was a really, really good idea. And it, I think, gave people some motivation that was beyond just the normal coming to work and sitting on your computer doing your emails. It was something dynamic and really fun.
Yeah, you really feel that. I love that as your united purpose, being empowering people. And you do feel that when you come there. I just felt the heartbeat of the marina is very, very empowering, because you've got all of the people happy and they're all really working and striving, and they're very proud, aren't they? Everybody's very, very proud of that project and what you're doing there and what you're building.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really important point, actually. Certainly in terms of the local opportunity that's being created. So everybody that's been part of Porto Montenegro has been part of that that growth of opportunity, employment, and just general creation of a destination and an industry in Montenegro that wasn't here before. So nautical tourism only really came about with Porto Montenegro, and everybody who's touched the project and been part of it has I think, taken away something which is a huge amount of pride for sure.
How were you first received? How was the whole project first received by the
locals? Not well.
Oh, surprise, well. Surprise. Okay.
Well, the Arsenal, which is the the basis of Porto Montenegro, the jetties that we're here and the land that was covered in workshops has a 100-year history when we came, or even more, it was 120 years. So there had been generations of people from Tibat working in this military shipyard. However, in the 90s, with the Balkan conflict, economic sanctions were imposed on Yugoslavia and Montenegro as well, which is part of Yugoslavia, of course. So the commercial ship repairs that the shipyard was undertaking all dried up, and the shipyard was basically bankrupt and in a very poor state of disrepair, which is when Peter Munk came along and the government launched a tender for the site to turn it into a nautical tourism destination. However, the people didn't believe that that was going to take place. They just thought that this big international investor was coming along to buy a big piece of their land. He was going to flog it for a profit and never do anything that he promised, which was never the case, but I understand that they felt that way. So we did a lot of things to gain their confidence, from providing the first free Wi-Fi network throughout Tibet. We gave away 100 free university scholarships every year for the first few years. And we continue this day with a lot of our CSR activities. We'll go out as a group of employees on the weekend, and we'll paint the local basketball court and stadium and just try and give back to the community. But it didn't take long. It was a few years. Once people started to be employed in Porto Montenegro, they realised that it was real and that the future generations were going to really benefit from what was going on here.
Mm. You created the museum, didn't you, there as well, which I was really impressed with when I saw the museum and the submarines. That was my first entrance into a submarine, which I just found fascinating. Just the fact that where they had to be and what they had to do, and they had to share beds, didn't they, because they were so tiny. And so some were on and some were off. And the captain's cabin was tiny. I just remember it was so small. So incredible the way these people lived in those things.
Yeah, saving the heritage and being able to put that on display for people to see is really important, I think. Mm. It was a fascinating glimpse into the past when we first arrived here, and I had the opportunity to walk around all the workshops, and, you know, there'd be an old cup of coffee sitting next to a big lathe that hadn't been touched for 10 years, and it was a real... It was fairly nostalgic, actually. It was quite interesting. So saving some of that in the Nautical Heritage Museum is, I think, really important. And the submarine's fabulous. So anybody who ever gets out here should definitely go into the submarine. And, yeah, the captain's cabin, I think the bunk is about 5'5", so you don't want to be a tall guy.
It was a real eye-opener just going in there and just from watching old movies of submarines and then actually going into one and just thinking that these people had lived in there for months. Just don't know how they did it.
But it was very very much appreciated by the local municipality and actually wider and further afield into Montenegro, so right through to the Ministry of Defence, because that submarine, it was actually taken out of the water in 1991 to be repaired, and then the war broke out. It was repaired to about 90% finished, but all of the instruments and equipment and actually the shell, so a submarine is actually just a tube and it has its nice submarine shape by these fiberglass covers that are put on it. Anyway, none of that was done, so we actually collaborated with the Ministry of Defence, who bought the old submariners in, and they repaired the submarine and finished it to what you see today. So that was also another good step forward with the I guess the acknowledgement that Porto Montenegro was an important part of the new future of Montenegro, and also recognising the old.
Well, it's also helping them with their purpose, isn't it, of keeping their heritage all intact and finding ways of improving their lives. Just you've supplied that and opened doors for them to create new possibilities for themselves.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a really nice collaboration, and the opening ceremony of the submarine was fantastic, with a lot of proud people who had taken part and who had actually been down in that submarine for 6 weeks at a time. So it was I dare say emotional. It was good.
And is there plans for another shipyard coming into next to the marina. There is, isn't there?
There is. So part of the vision of Porto Montenegro as you know, the leading superyacht marina, if you like, was luxury and putting a shipyard. There's many places in the world that have a marina and shipyard element, but putting that side by side in this location didn't seem right to the original investors. We were aware at the time that there's another shipyard, which is a mile away across the bay, that could be the perfect place to create a new superyacht repair and maintenance facility. It took a while, but we now we have the concession for that area, and we have a new partner on board who are currently sort of ramping up, staffing up, and getting ready to open a brand new superyacht repair and maintenance facility that'll be here in Montenegro, which will really complement Porto Montenegro perfectly.
So, what else do you see that sets you apart from the older, more traditional marinas in the Western Mediterranean?
Well, building a new marina was a luxury that allowed us to put the infrastructure in place that was not only current for or applicable for the current fleet, but that we could actually supersize for what we anticipated in the future. So, you know, we've got, as you've seen, we've got some pretty big berths here right now. I think the biggest we've got out there now is 140, but we've got a whole range of 140 metres, a whole range of vessels underneath that, right down to the 12-metre boats. But, you know, take a 15-metre boat as an example. 10 years ago, not many of them had air conditioning. Now they all have air conditioning and they need a lot more power to run that on a 15-metre boat. So you can imagine how it gets with when you go up into the larger yachts. So being able to foresee what might come and put that infrastructure in place really set us apart. I think also having the understanding of crew from day one really helped us as well, because we've got some testimonials, and one that I really like from a captain is that Porto Montenegro just makes my life easy. So we're there to help in whatever way we can, be it we'll order a pizza for you, or we'll book an excursion for the crew or the guests or anybody up into the mountains. So yeah, making the yacht's life easy is really important. And then there's also the natural side of Montenegro, so the bay that we talked about, which was safe and secure. It's centrally located between the Turkish cruising ground, the Greek cruising ground, and then over into the Western Med. So it's just, I think, a combination of things that really, really sets this location apart.
Mm. And your events, because I know that you have some great events there, and I was very jealous to miss the polo that you had on the green. Is that happening this year?
It's not happening this year, but we do have quite a good events calendar. We've had a really expedited recovery, I think, this year. So the marina is very full. We've got a lot of people in the village. The Montenegrin government have been very proactive towards ensuring safety, but lessening of restrictions as soon as they felt comfortable and it was safe to do so. So we have very few cases in Montenegro now. And with the protocols that are in place, the tourism industry is really starting to boom again, and the recovery is much faster than we thought. So the events calendar this year is really good. The polo will be taking place next year, so we'll make sure that you've got an invite to that, because it really was spectacular. I mean, I've been here a while and I've seen some things, but actually shipping in 52 horses and watching them run around the field with amazingly skillful polo players on the back of them was really something. It was special.
And literally just behind the marina. So you've got the marina with all the amazing yachts, and then just behind that, a field with a load of horses charging around, which just looked fantastic.
It was. It was really, really something special. And also things like concerts. You know, we have this great, actually it was a synchro hangar, so where the submarines used to come up into to get repaired undercover. That's now our open air auditorium, if you like, or the place that we set up stages. So we've had rock concerts, you know, from Clean Bandit right through to symphony orchestras. And this year we are actually doing our international fashion show. That one is on the calendar. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening here in Porto Montenegro every year.
So this united purpose that you have, all of you, it's sort of morphs into all kinds of things, doesn't it? It's not only the marina, it's the entertainment, it's the, like you say, a fashion show, and also you've got the international school there. And what's the name of, you were building a new village that as part of the marina?
Yeah. So we've got a new development at sort of the back of the site, which is called Bocca Place. So that's several buildings within one big compound, one complex. It's right on the main road, so it's going to benefit from passing trade. So in that complex, we have a three-screen multi-screen cinema. We've got a kind of open air and undercover area shopping mall, which is slightly different from the retail offering that we have in the very high-end side of the village. So it'll cater for everybody and the passing trades. But then also the residential element to the building as well. So there's a citizenship by investment program here in Montenegro, which this building is part of. So we're seeing a lot of people purchasing apartments in order to take part in that citizenship program. So they'll get a Montenegrin passport. It's also got a huge spa facility and centre in there. So that's what's sort of happening in Porto Montenegro in terms of the property development at the moment. But on the synergy between departments, so we're the marina department, we have a marketing department, we have an events department, you know, legal and finance and all that, like any big company. But I think what's really special about Porto Montenegro and the staff that we have is that we all come together collectively to create these events. So whatever's happening in the marina, is it a boat show? Is it a crew event? We work very closely with the marketing and the events team as though we're one, because we are one big company, even though we're in different departments. The synergy there is just fantastic, and it's another special part about the team we have here, I think.
No, and you really do feel that. So, Tony, another way purpose helps us is planning for the future. So what's next for Tony and what's next for Porto Montenegro?
Well, for Porto Montenegro, we've still got a lot of our land development to continue to develop, coming up with new and exciting elements to that total offering that Porto Montenegro has. But in the marina side of things, we've still got another 400 berths to build. So we've been through one major expansion, which was a construction type expansion where we built new jetties. We're going to do that again. I think staying relevant in the industry and understanding what clients are, what the client demographic and client base, the size of vessels, all that sort of stuff that is going to occupy that new marina expansion is a very important part of what we're doing here. Continuing to grow our yacht club. Our yacht club in Porto Montenegro has over actually the last 6 months come back to life. I think everywhere had a quiet spell, should we say, but that's coming back to life, and we're looking at new ways to continue to enhance the youth activities, the kids sailing, right up through to the international match racing that we do as well. So there's a lot going on in Porto Montenegro.
I can't wait to visit again. I've just come back from holiday, and I just feel that there's a whole new vibe. Everyone's so happy to be out and to be able to operate again, and the restaurants are open, and everyone seems to have this new energy, which is just feels fabulous.
Yeah, we had, as we said, the A-Crew guys here, guys and girls here, and at the end of the spotlight event, we held the first kind of barbecue DJ night event that we'd had. The restrictions here had been relieved to the point that we could have the numbers with certain precautions in place, and everybody was smiling and everybody was saying, oh, my God, this is like the first time that we've come back together in a long time. So, yeah, everybody's got a smile on their face, and it's a lot of – a lot of fun to see that, I guess, just people smiling and happy.
Yeah, you know? Just feeling free again.
Absolutely.
What about Tony? What's Tony's purpose for planning for the future?
Well, I'm just going to continue looking to do the best that I can here for Porto Montenegro. I've obviously got the Global Marina Institute that we meet very regularly. My real vision and goal there is just a little bit brief.
So what's next for Tony? What's Tony's purpose for the future?
Well, I'm, as always, very keen to continue to grow Porto Montenegro, so I'm certainly going to enjoy the expansion and continuation of what we do here, and making sure that it's staying on track for our vision to really, really try and be the leading super yacht marina. But also there's the Global Marina Institute. So what we do there is it's an umbrella that brings the main industry bodies, marina industry bodies from the British side of things, European side of things, right out into Australasia. And it's got a fantastic learning program behind it that we've kind of aligned across the world now, but also marina development standards as well to ensure that the development of marinas is on par with each other and we maintain a certain level there. But one thing that is missing, I think, is that we have this body, we have our gold anchors in marinas, which are like five stars in hotels. We have the certified marina managers accreditation, but actually the end users don't always know and appreciate the value of those accreditations and that standard that's in those locations that have gone through these independent assessments. So from the Global Marina Institute, I really want to keep pushing to ensure that the end user understands how important that is and how beneficial it is for them as well as they use their marinas that fall under these categories. I've also actually just joined the board of the International Superyacht Society as well. So, and there I think there's a good connection between the marinas and the superyachts. So I'll find some energy and continue to stay on top of that and do what we can to connect marinas and superyachts, not just with them arriving in as a customer, but in terms of industry bodies as well. And then the most important thing really for me is my family as well. So making sure that my girls are active and happy and educated and going down the path to see what their future development is going to be is really important.
Pretty nice place to grow up. About 25 years ago, I had there was a chap that used to come to mend my Hoover. And he said, "Oh, I'm only doing this part-time because I'm actually an entrepreneur." And I said, "Oh, that's interesting. What do you do?" He said, "I'm creating a game." I said, "Okay, what's that?" He said, "It's called Where's Montenegro?" And really? I said, "Well, where is Montenegro? Never heard of it." And it's so lovely to now, and actually I moved recently and I found the game. He did create it. I found the game in my attic. And it was amazing to suddenly be there and see this place when those years ago I was going, "Well, where is it?" And he created this game because no one knew where it was. So it's such a lovely thing to be able to talk to you about and hear what you're doing there and how your purpose is really helping all of the locals' purpose and they're all growing together. You're all growing together. So we always ask this question at the end of the podcast. So Tony, what fuels your power of purpose?
Well, it's a tough question, that one, isn't it? What fuels your power of purpose? I think it's personal and professional gain. It's can be right, you know, as simple as, you know, making your parents proud. It's, I think, challenge. And being challenged is really important for me. I think I'm a bit of a problem solver. I like to have, well, I don't like problems, but I like solving problems. I really truly believe that there are no problems, there are only solutions. Again, another cliche, but I think it's an important one. So yeah, just remaining challenged, remaining active, putting goals and dreams and aspirations and trying to achieve them.
Keep throwing those creative ideas at the wall, Tony. That's what you've got to do.
Absolutely.
Keep throwing them. Well, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. It's really interesting to hear what you're doing there. And I can't wait to come back because I absolutely loved it. Byron was right, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I think Byron was right. You're going to be very welcome and we look forward to seeing you here again. And thank you very much for creating these podcasts. I think they're a really useful industry resource for actually any industry. And I certainly enjoyed listening to the podcasts that you've already created and I look forward to hearing more of them as well.
Oh, thank you. We really enjoy doing it. We want to bring as much as we can to listeners to really provide that resource so that everyone gets something out of it. So thank you once again. Have a fantastic day and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Likewise. Thank you very much. See ya.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed that informative chat with Tony. Porto Montenegro really is a stunning part of the world. Please connect with us on social media and share so that other people can find us and get some benefit from this resource. We have a special edition coming up for you in the next few weeks before our brief break. So stay tuned, stay marvellous and stay happy. Bye for now.